So today we read from the Srimad Bhagavatam, and this is a canto 7, chapter 8, and text 14. We have gazamped the Jayarada Madhava because of time restraint. So we're not going to read on the board, so I'll just read myself the verse. Are you okay with it? Then we do translation, and then we'll read the purport. So this is the chapter, "The Lord Slays the King of the Demons." I'll be reading this verse with a small purport, and then I will say a little something about Prahlad Maharaj in my own humble way. And then Dhananjaya Prabhu will say something about Lord Nrisingadev. And this is how you separated the boys from the men. You know, I speak about the boy, and Dhananjaya Prabhu will speak about the main person, Lord Nrisingadev. So, the text 14 goes like this: Evam duruktair muhur ardayan rusha sutam maha bhagavatam mahasura khadgam pragriyato yato patito varasanat stambam tatadati bala Svamustina. Translation: being obsessed with anger, Hiranyakashipu, who was very great in bodily strength, thus chastised his exalted devotee son Prahlad Maharaj with harsh words, cursing him again and again. Hiranyakashipu took up his sword, got up from his royal throne, and with great anger struck his fist against the column. So this translation has no purport. I'll go to the next one, which has got a small purport. Tadaiva tasmin ninado tibisano babuva yenanda kataham asputat yamvai sva disnyo Pagatam Tvajadaya Shrutva Svadamatsyayam Anga Menire. Translation: then from within the pillar came a fearful sound, which appeared to crack the covering of the universe. O my dear Yudhisthira, this sound reached even the abodes of the demigods like Lord Brahma. And when the demigods heard it, they thought, "Oh, now our planets are being destroyed." Small purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. As we sometimes become very much afraid at the sound of a thunderbolt, perhaps thinking that our houses will be destroyed, the great demigods like Lord Brahma feared the thundering sound that came from the pillar in front of Hiranyakashipu. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Jena Bhutale Svayam Rupa Kadamayam Datati Svapadandikam Vanchakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Ivacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Mukham Karoti Vachalam Pangalam Gayate Girim Yat Kripa Tamaham Vande Siguru Tiratarina. Can I have a little bit of water, please? So Hiranyakashipu, I'll speak a little bit about who is Hiranyakashipu, where is he from, what he did, and a little history just to summarize. What is this? Thanks. You want some water? Some water for Dhananjay. There is a saying in Italian that quando un amico diventa nemico è formidabile e non c'è nessun nemico peggiore di un amico quando diventa tuo nemico. Ok, translation. There is a say that there is no enemy more formidable or dangerous than a friend when it becomes your enemy. Is it true or not? You have a similar thing here, isn't it? Because your friend, he knows everything about you. So Hiranyakashipu was very, very close associates of Lord Narayan in the spiritual world. He was very close associates, and therefore the Lord, he very much enjoyed to be in the pastimes with his devotee, because the best enemy can only be this Asurik Bhava, which is a feeling empowered by the Lord to jai and vijay. Okay, now you go down and give me pleasure by fighting with me. And they were empowered by this Asurik Bhava, demoniac feeling, the feeling of enmity. Asurik means a feeling of enmity towards the Lord Narayan. Unlike Prahlad Maharaj, also was empowered by the Lord, but it was Bhakti Bhava, or Bhava Bhakti, the feeling of devotion towards the Lord. But we should understand one thing. I'm not trying to glorify Hiranyakashipu, but it's nice to understand and to not pass out the judgment that because he's a demon, so therefore, you know, we disregard him as an insignificant person. He gave a tremendous amount of pleasure to the Lord by fighting with him. And not only that, he achieved such an exalted position, higher than Maharaj Yudhisthira. Maharaj Yudhisthira was the Chakravarti of the four directions of this planet. But Hiranyakashipu was actually the Chakravarti of the three planetary systems, from Lord Brahma to the middle, Bhur Loka, where we are living, down to the Patala Loka. And not only that, the Chatusloka is maintained also by the hoods of the Nagaloka, the snakes of Nagaloka. They, from their head, they have these beautiful jewels. They give a light to the lower planetary systems. And they have a very beautiful wives. It's described in this canto. If you have some time today, you should read a little bit. It's very interesting. And Hiranyakashipu, he became so powerful, the Chakravarti of all the directions, up, down, east, west, he usurped the positions of all the demigods, Lord Indra. He took away the jewels from the head of the Naga, these divine snakes, and took away their wives, and he bedded them. He lived with them when he was reigning, because they were very beautiful women. And he took away the position and also all the possessions of Lord Indra. The demigods, out of fear, they lived behind the sky, the clouds. The Prajapati, their great personality, the first children of Lord Brahma, out of fear, they only gave birth to demons. Now he had this Kamavasaiti Siddhi, that not many yogis, they can achieve it. Controlling the mind of other living entities. Even on Siddhaloka, the old inhabitants of Siddhaloka, they, out of fear, they were performing austerity and yajna and all the yogic, the siddha, whatever, perfection that they offered for the benefit of, for the satisfaction of Hiranyakashipu. And the Manus, they had to change their law, is described in the Bhagavatam. There is the law of Manu, the Manu Samhita. They had to change it. Not personality before had the influence to control the Manus. They had to change their laws from religious life to irreligious life. He controlled the breathing, practically speaking, of all the living entities. So powerful that his body, when he achieved the boon from Lord Brahma, the body became impenetrable. So hard, and as is described in the verse we read, that more hard than the thunderbolt of Lord Indra. You could hear, and so hard, that the bare fist of his hand had cracked the column of the palace of Lord Indra. It cracked it. And that's later on Dhananjaya Prabhu will tell us what came out of that. He says that the thunderbolt is harder than 10,000 of the power of the diamonds, the thunderbolt of Lord Indra. And the body of Hiranyakashipu was harder than that. But of course, there was only one thing that could penetrate the body of Hiranyakashipu, and they were the nails of the Lord. Again, will be spoken later. So, Hiranyakashipu, very beautiful, he had a fame. If you read in the third chapter of this Bhagavatam, the ninth canto, the seventh canto, you will see the quality of this great personality, great demon. This is not fairy tale, it's not mythology. He terrorized the three planetary systems, the whole universe. But of course, he had a son, and his name, we all know, was Prahlad. And this boy was the only one who was not afraid of him. It says in the Mundaka Upanishad, where it explains about the two birds in the heart, the Paramatma and the conditioned souls. If you read a little, there are some interesting quotes there that explain about this special personality, any personality who is in the category of Mukta Purush. Mukta Purush is a liberated personality who is born liberated. And the characteristic of this Mukta Purush is that he's a special bird, that the feathers, they are just too bright to be caged by the material energy. So Prahlad Maharaj, he was such a bird. The feathers of his consciousness or intelligence, his soul, they were too bright to be caged by the will of his father. Fearless. Bitavan. That's why there is one verse before those two. If you do remember, I learned when I was Brahmachari. Hiranyakashipu once he said, Krudasya yasya kampante trayaloka sarishvara tasya me bitavan muda sasanam kim balotyaga. Hiranyakashipu, when he was challenged psychologically, he had the upper hand on it. When he was challenged by Prahlad, when he asked him, what have you learned today? And Prahlad said, Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Padasevanam, Archanam, Vandanam, Sakyam, Dasyam, Atmani Vedanam. So he became furious, toxic, and he quoted that verse, Kruddasya Yasya Kampante. He said, you are just a little chap, little boy. Everybody is afraid of me. Do you know that when I get angry, Kruddasya Yasya Kampante, when I get angry, just by raising one of my eyebrow, just one, not two, like this. I don't know how. But anyway, Triloka Sarishvara, the all three lokas, planetary systems, from Lord Brahma down to Patala Loka, they tremble in fear. Everybody's afraid of me. And then he says, Tasya me, bitavan muda. Tasya me, oh me. How come you are not afraid? Bitavan, rascal. How come you are not afraid of me? Tasya me, bitavan muda. So he insulted Prahlad Maharaj. Why? Because the boy was too intelligent to surrender to him. Or because he told the truth. That, you know, I chant the names, I remember the names of Vishnu. Hiranyakashipu became very toxic and very angry and envious because he wanted the Prahlad to chant his names. So Prahlad Maharaj was fearless. You can see that when the truth is spoken concisely, then that truth is spoken eloquently. It becomes very eloquent. So that was Prahlad Maharaj. Without any fear, he told him, you know, that I worship Lord Narayan. And then Hiranyakashipu, on the last line, he said, Sasanam kim balotyaga. For you to not be afraid of me, it means only one thing. Sasanam kim balotyaga. That behind your power, there must be someone. So he started, that was the very first suspect. He started to suspect, you know, that actually this boy is not alone. He's got so much power, similar to my power. Why? Because Prahlad Maharaj could not be killed also, like Hiranyakashipu. You saw in the play, he could not be killed by fire. He could not be killed by, squashed by elephants. He could not be pierced by tridents. He could not be poisoned by snakes. And he became a very lagima siddhi. He had all the siddhi. He didn't even ask the Lord for this power. But the Lord gave to him. When he was thrown from the cliff, I mean, of course, in the picture we see that the Lord Vishnu is underneath. But actually, the fact is, the truth is, it became very, very light. Lord Vishnu made him very light. Lagima siddhi. It's like, you know, he came down like a feathers in the hands of the Lord. So he said, where do you get your power from? And Prahlad Maharaj, again, he spoke the truth. He was not afraid of him. Savai balam balinam chaparisham. Very famous words of Prahlad. My dear father, please know that the source of my power, savai balinam chaparisham, is from the same source of your power. I get my power from the same person who gives them to you. But, Prabhupada describes in the purport, that there was only one difference. That's what Prahlad Maharaj says. Some people, they get it directly, and some they get it indirectly. So the power of that was given to Prahlad Maharaj was directly from Lord Vishnu, not middle person. But Hiranyakashipu, you are the middleman, Lord Brahma. So that is the difference between the two. Both they had the same power, Hiranyakashipu and Prahlad Maharaj. Both they could not be killed. But there was one difference. That, actually this is quite interesting, you know, that I found it very interesting. And it was very educational for myself when Prabhupada explains why we should not worship the demigods. How dangerous it is. And I know that many devotees, someone came to me sometime back, you know, you don't mind, do you think I'm doing the right thing to worship Lord Shiva to get such and such, you know, as my husband? And I said, no, it's not a good idea. And I explained, which I will explain to you why. Prahlad Maharaj, along with his power, he achieved humility. Because Brahma, Lord Shiva, Lord Vishnu, those three, they are the predominating deities of mode of passion, goodness and ignorance. And every time you worship one of them, there is a catch. That's what the way Prabhupada explains. If you worship Lord Vishnu, the catch is that along with a boon, you will get humility, which will not make you fall down, which will not make you proud. And it's a safe. That's why it's stated in the Bhagavatam, Akama sarva kama, moksha kama, udarati. That whether you have a material desires or non-material desires, or you want liberation, Krishna says, just worship me with no fear, don't worry. You will not enter into any trouble. There is no reaction. Even if you have a material desire. Because ultimately that worship, even if you have a material desire, will lead you to a greater purification. Whereas, for example, Lord Brahma, here you have the case, he gave a boon to Hiranyakashipu. But along with that boon, there was a catch. What was it? Okay, now we have Lord Vishnu is the deities of the mode of goodness, and from mode of goodness comes out humility. Right? That's the way Prabhupada explains. Lord Brahma, he's in charge of the mode of passion. And what comes out of the mode of passion? Pride, yes, exactly. So that was the catch. Hiranyakashipu achieved the boons, but at the same time, he became very proud. I am the Lord of the universe, I am the emperor or whatever, and therefore everybody should be surrendered to me. That is pride. Just like, for example, Lord Brahma, Prabhupada says, sometimes those demigods also, they become entangled from their own influence. That's why you have the pastime of Lord Brahma, Brahma Mohan Leela. He became proud. Prabhupada says sometimes, not all the time, they become influenced by their own mode. Because from the mode of passion comes pride. And when Lord Brahma is stolen away, all the inhabitants, the children and the gopas, you know, from Vrindavan. And then Lord Krishna, he became a manifest and he gave him a lesson. We all know the story, I'm not going to get into that. Then you saw that Lord Brahma himself, to purify himself from that pride, he had to take a birth as a Haridas Thakur in the pastimes of Lord Chaitanya. So the best way to purify oneself from pride is to think oneself low than the straw in the street. To think oneself less than everyone else, and everyone else more than me. That's the mood we go out on book distribution. Otherwise it's very difficult. Tamal Krishna Maharaj told me, I said, with what mood I will enter Vrindavan, the first time I went to Vrindavan. He said, remember this and never forget. Always think of yourself less than everyone else, and everyone else more than you. If you genuinely think like that and you go out preaching, you can only be successful. People, they will drink the juice of your consciousness. They will pick it up. This man is a humble man. Let me see. Because, you know, whatever pride we hold on to, it comes out in our speech, in our look, in our consciousness, in our behavior. People, they're not stupid. So they pick it up. And if you're not humble, then you can't do Harinam. You can't do preaching. It's impossible. So therefore, another example. So Hiranyakashipu, we had this pride. And Lord Shiva, for example, Lord Shiva, what did he do, Lord Shiva? He also, the mode of ignorance. What comes out of the mode of ignorance? Madness. It says, isn't it, in the third chapter. Madness, because sometimes even the Lord Shiva himself, he becomes so mad, you know, he starts to dance and creates havoc, and Lord Vishnu had to dovetail this propensity of madness into destruction, the partial destructions of the universe. And he also became mad after Mohini Murti, as soon as he saw Mohini. So of course that's transcendental madness. We cannot imitate. We should do what they say. They're margins, those personalities. We should do what they say, but we should not do what they do. So, classical example of why Lord Shiva, when he gives out boons, then madness comes with it. Ravana. The other demon, Vrikrasur. Ravana, he became a mad after Sita. He also achieved all the boons, and he couldn't be killed by anybody. Almost synonymous, like Hiranyakashipu power. But along with that came madness and pride. So he became a mad after Sita. Vrikrasura also, because he worshipped Lord Shiva. So the catch was that he said to Lord Shiva, please grant me a boon that whoever's head I will touch with my finger, that person's head will explode in 1,000 pieces. And Lord Shiva, being very pleased, he granted him the boon. He had to do that. But it was very dangerous to do that, because then the next thing would happen very quickly, because Vikrasura was stupid, and he immediately became mad. He saw this beautiful lady next to Shiva, Parvati, and he became mad after her. He wanted to enjoy her. Then he told in his little mind, let me touch the head of Lord Shiva and blow up his head, and then I can enjoy his wife. And then he started to chase Lord Shiva everywhere. And, this is a true story. Even though powerful demigod, who can defeat the Lord Shiva? But because he gave us such a powerful weapon, such a powerful boon to this demon, and the catch is madness, so he became mad. Vikrasura, he was chasing Lord Shiva everywhere. And he had to take shelter of Lord Vishnu in the spiritual world. So Lord Shiva, he didn't know what to do. That's what happened when you give power to demons. It's like you give a machine gun to a chimp. If your chimp comes in the temple room now, and he starts shooting everywhere, then I think you will forget about Lord Nrisimhadev appearance day. You'll forget, there's a class going on. The next thing you'll do, you grab your phone, you grab your baby, and the next question, where is the door? You start to run away everywhere. So that was the Lord Shiva was running away helplessly. And then Vishnu, of course, he bailed him out, just like he's bailing out Brahma, Lord Brahma here, and bailing out also Prahlad Maharaj. Lord Vishnu said, boon can he give you? He's got nothing. Look at this. He's naked. He's got a piece of cloth. He lives under the tree. He doesn't have a house. He doesn't have any power to give. And you can taste, you know, you see, touch your own head and you will see that nothing happened. And then I leave it to your imagination what he did next. So that is the catch. You know, it's a very dangerous to worship demigods. You may achieve what you want, but you also, there is a catch there. And where is the Lord Vishnu? You know the pastime that, it, you know, when Bhrigu Muni came, he wanted to test who is the most humble of all the three personalities, Brahma, Shiva, and of Vishnu. So he tried with the first two and they reacted. One reacted very angrily, psychologically, mentally, and then the other one verbally acted very angrily. So then when he came to Lord Vishnu, Bhrigu, he saw Lord Vishnu sleeping on the coastal ocean, on Yoga Nidra, and he kicked him right on the chest. Big kick on the chest. Can you imagine where, if you go in a room in the middle of the night, somebody's in somebody's bed, and you don't wake up the person, you know, verbally or but you just kick the person on the chest. I don't think you'll be humble, isn't it? You will. I think, you know, it's you will be quite angry. sometimes I wake up, but Dhananjaya Prabhu doesn't do that because he's such a gentleman when he distributes books. But I sometimes wake up people in the car, you know, when they are sleeping, and I knock the window gently, you know, toot, 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 like 9 out of 10, you know, they don't get angry. Only those, you know, who are very hungry and tired, you know, sometimes they get very angry. And, you know, I put my hand up, Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. You know. Then they put away, what do you want? What do you want? Who is this Jeev Jago? And I give them a book. Sometimes, you know, they after eating, they feel so relaxed. And they wake up with a smile on their face. You know, and they take the book. So it's very, somehow or another, mystical, you know, they take the book because, you know, they rested, they fed and everything. So, you know, kicking someone or disturbing someone when he's asleep, you know, it's a very, very annoying thing. And I hate to say, sometimes in my house, you know, my wife goes upstairs to call up my son, Goranga. She goes very softly in the room and she touches his feet. Goranga, it's very late. It's 11:30. You will miss the bus. And you will miss the lecture at uni. She just touched the feet very... And I am downstairs, you know, and I... Very peaceful. And then all of a sudden, who is that? What do you want? Carlos, go away. I'm so tired. Why do you wake me up so early? Sorry, Goranga. I'm embarrassing you. So, nobody likes to be disturbed when they're sleeping. But Lord Vishnu, you know, he woke up and he grabbed the feet of Bhrigu and he said, my dear son, I must have hurt your feet. And that was done with a not sarcastic mood. You know, sometimes we are sarcastic on each other. But Lord Vishnu, he meant it and he was crying. He put the feet of Bhrigu on his heart, on his chest. I must have hurt you with my heart chest. I must have hurt your lotus feet. And he was patting, you know, the feet of Bhrigu. And the tears, he was shedding tears on his feet. And Bhrigu Muni was struck. This is humility. You could see. Lord Vishnu, he can only bring out humility. That's from the mode of goodness. So anyone who worships Krishna or Lord Vishnu, even if it's a material thing, you are safe. because they will give you humility that you will never fall down with the gift. Actually, anything the Lord gives you will never be the cause of your fall down. That's why it's called a Purusheya, perfect. So, Prahlad Maharaj, just a couple of minutes more, then I'll pass it on to Dhananjaya Prabhu. He induced his friends to chant Hare Krishna, to give devotional service to them, because that's the age, the youth that propels a good spiritual advancement. Later on, you know, we may miss the bus. Many of us, we have joined when we were young, but it's so difficult, you know, to practice spiritual life when you are old. So therefore, you know, when you're young, it's like putting a first gear in a car, you know, it gives a very good sprint. So that's actually a good analogy, isn't it? It gives a good sprint, you know, to the velocity of the car. And so that is an instruction for us also. Let's take up now Krishna consciousness. Not like Saint Augustine he did, you know. He was a very good saint, Italian saint, very God conscious, but you know the motto of Saint Augustine. My dear Lord, I love you, I like you. Don't worry, I will surrender to you one day, but not yet. That was the prayer of Saint. But then he became old, and then he was preaching, you know, this mistake that he made to the new priest. Don't make the same mistake I made. So take up the Krishna consciousness now. And so Prahlad Maharaj, that was the difference between Prahlad and Hiranyakashipu. He humbled himself, and that's why later on he was praised, not just by the Lord, but also by all the devotees, the demigods. And even up to now he's praised by us. You know, we are praising him today. So one who humbles himself, he will be praised. And one who praises himself, like Hiranyakashipu did, he will be humbled. And Dhananjaya Prabhu will explain in what way Hiranyakashipu was humbled by the Lord. So these are just a few thoughts. I just wanted to say a little something about the last verse that I read. When he heard the sound of Lord Nrisimhadev, he was the only one in the assembly to recognize that sound, the source of that sound, and he remembered someone. In the Narsinga Purana, there is something interesting, explains why Prahlad Maharaj had natural love for Nrisimhadev. You know, that half man, half lion, why did he like that so much, that personality? In his previous lives, as you know, do you know the story a little bit about the previous life? Prahlad Maharaj, I'm sure some of you know. He was just a normal commoner, a boy, who was in the forest for a picnic with a girl, you know, from a village, and they were trying to have this picnic, and it was a Ekadasi day. Then all of a sudden, the thunder, the rain came. And when the thunder comes, all the lions, they come out, because that's the time when the animals, they scatter around, left and right, for shelter. And the lion is an opportunity for the lion to come and jump on the prey. So then all of a sudden, you know, this lion became manifest in the forest towards this boy and the girl, and they became so afraid, and they left all the picnic and all the food there, and they tried to take shelter into a building which was a ruins of a very old temple of Lord Nilamadava. This was on the first half of life of Lord Brahma, and there was half deity there, broken only from the west down of Lord Nilamadava. The upper part was missing, was broken. But then he came in with that mood, whoever is here, please, Paima, give me shelter. But that was done with a great sincerity. And he closed his eyes. And when he closed his eyes, this personality became, because he was afraid of the lion, so he had a lion impression. He was traumatized by the feature of the lion. And then he closed his eyes and he also had a, he saw this, the upper body, the legs of this Murti, and he said, there is nobody here to help me. But because he said, whoever is here, when you go into the house of the Lord, and that Lord is being worshipped, even if you destroy the deity, still the aura, the fragrance of the Lord is still there. And if you go there for shelter, he will give it to you. So when he closed his eyes, then this, the form of the lion became merged with the down body of Lord Nilamadava. And that's when he, this beautiful form, half lion, half man, became a manifest. And then don't ask me what happened next, if he got killed by the lion, I don't know. But there is no details. And that's why when he heard the sound from the column, he recognized the sound of this very old friend. The Lord came to me, this beautiful personality. And that's the Lord he came, as Dhananjaya Prabhu will explain, as a very unusual being. So, Dhananjaya Prabhu, I'll pass the floor to you. Jai Prahlad Maharaj ki jai.
Thank you very much, Bhishma Bhar Prabhu. Hare Krishna, everybody. I'm going to continue the story with text number 16. And I'm going to stick to the script. That means I'm only going to read from the Srimad Bhagavatam in this particular story. This is something that actually Prabhupada, he liked that we study directly from the scripture. Just like, for instance, on Janmashtami Day, he liked so much to hear about the pastimes of Krishna. And there was one year Prabhupada was visiting New Vrindavan, and it came up to midnight, and generally speaking that's how long you read. You read from the morning up until midnight, and then you have a kirtan and offering, and then you have prasadam. But Prabhupada insisted that they continue, although many devotees were kind of falling asleep in front of him. They'd been sitting there because Prabhupada was sitting there listening and relishing. So in the same way, if we are able to acquire a desire to relish hearing the stories and the pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then we're in a very, very special category. That means that we're developing love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which was being displayed by Prahlad Maharaj. Prahlad Maharaj was not at all afraid of what emerged from the pillar. And so reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 8, Text Number 16. Translation. While showing extraordinary prowess, Hiranyakashipu, who desired to kill his own son, heard that wonderful tumultuous sound which had never before been heard. Upon hearing the sound, the other leaders of the demons were afraid. None of them could find the origin of that sound in the assembly. Purport. In the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 7, Text 8, Krishna explains himself by saying, Rasoham apsukonteya prabhasmi shashi surya yaho pranava sarvavedeshu shabda ke purasham nrishu. O son of Kunti, Arjuna, I am the taste of water, the light of the sun and the moon, the syllable om in the Vedic mantras. I am the sound in ether and ability in man. Here the Lord exhibited his presence everywhere by the tumultuous sound in the sky, Shabda K. The tumultuous thundering sound was proof of the Lord's presence. The demons like Hiranyakashipu could now realize the supreme ruling power of the Lord, and thus Hiranyakashipu became afraid. However powerful a man may be, he always fears the sound of a thunderbolt. Similarly, Hiranyakashipu and all the demons who were his associates were extremely afraid because of the presence of the Supreme Lord in the form of sound, although they could not trace out the source of the sound. Text 17. to prove that the statement of his servant Prahlad Maharaj was substantial. In other words, to prove that the Supreme Lord is present everywhere, even within the pillar of an assembly hall, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Hari exhibited a wonderful form never before seen. The form was neither that of a man nor that of a lion. Thus the Lord appeared in his wonderful form in the assembly hall. Purport. When Hiranyakashipu asked Prahlad Maharaj, "Where is your Lord? Is he present in this pillar?" Prahlad Maharaj fearlessly replied, "Yes, my Lord is present everywhere." Therefore, to convince Hiranyakashipu that the statement of Prahlad Maharaj was unmistakably true, the Lord appeared from the pillar. Just see the love that Lord Narsingadev had for his pure devotee Prahlad, that he would actually appear when questioned by Hiranyakashipu, the demoniac father of Prahlad Maharaj. The Lord appeared as half lion and half man, so that Hiranyakashipu could not understand whether the great giant was a lion or a human being. To substantiate Prahlad's statement, the Lord proved that his devotee, as declared in Bhagavad Gita, is never vanquished. Kunteya pratijanihi name bhakta pranasyati. Prahlad Maharaj's demoniac father had repeatedly threatened to kill Prahlad, but Prahlad was confident that he could not be killed, since he was protected by the Supreme Lord. By appearing from the pillar, the Lord encouraged his devotees, saying in effect, "Don't worry, I am present here." By manifesting his form as Nrisimhadev, the Lord also preserved the truth of Lord Brahma's promise that Hiranyakashipu was not to be killed by any animal or any man. The Lord appeared in a form that could not be said to be fully a man or a lion. Text 18. While Sri Hiranyakashipu looked all around to find the source of the sound, that wonderful form of the Lord, which could not be ascertained to be either a man or a lion, emerged from the pillar. In amazement, Hiranyakashipu wondered, "What is this creature that is half man and half lion?" Purport. A demon cannot calculate the unlimited potency of the Supreme Lord. As stated in the Vedas, Parasya Shaktir Vividhaiva Shruyate Swabhaviki Jnana Bala Kriyacha. The different potencies of the Lord are always working as an automatic exhibition of his knowledge. For a demon, it is certainly wonderful that the form of a lion and the form of a man can be united, since a demon has no experience of the inconceivable power for which the Supreme Lord is called all-powerful. Demons cannot understand the omnipotence of the Lord. They simply compare the Lord to one of them, Avajananti Mang Mudha Manusing Tanum Ashritam. Mudhas, rascals, think that Krishna is an ordinary human being who appears for the benefit of other human beings. Parang Bhavam Ajananta. Fools, rascals, and demons cannot realize the supreme potency of the Lord, but he can do anything and everything. Indeed, he can do whatever he likes. When Hiranyakashipu received benedictions from Lord Brahma, he thought that he was safe, since he received the benediction that he would not be killed either by an animal or by a human being. He never thought that an animal and human being could be combined, so that demons like him would be puzzled by such a form. This is the meaning of the Supreme Personality of Godhead's omnipotence. Text 19 and 22. Hiranyakashipu studied the form of the Lord, trying to decide who the form of Nrisimhadev standing before him was. The Lord's form was extremely fearsome because of his angry eyes, which resembled molten gold. His shining mane, which expanded the dimensions of his fearful face, his deadly teeth, and his razor-sharp tongue, which moved about like a dueling sword. Everybody know what a dueling sword is? It's a very, very thin blade. It's not a thick blade. If you take up fencing, if you learn the art of it is an art. It's actually something that I took for a while myself when I was a student. And they're called épée. And they're very, very thin, almost like needle, like a long, long needle. So here it's describing that Lord Nrisimhadev's tongue was razor sharp and moved about like a dueling sword, because the whole thing of fencing is you're going to duel with someone who's also got a razor sharp sword. Of course, they're blunt, We don't try to pierce each other's bodies. It's just it's an art form, you can say. And his ears were erect and motionless, and his nostrils and gaping mouth appeared like caves of a mountain. His jaws parted fearfully, and his entire body touched the sky. His neck was very short and thick, his chest broad, his waist thin, and the hairs on his body as white as the rays of the moon. His arms, which resembled flanks of soldiers, spread in all directions as he killed the demons, rogues, and atheists with his conch shell, disc, club, lotus, and other natural weapons. Text 23. Hiranyakashipu murmured to himself, "Lord Vishnu, who possesses great mystic power, has made this plan to kill me, but what is the use of such an attempt? Who can fight with me?" Thinking like this and taking up his club, Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord like an elephant. Text 24. Just as a small insect falls forcefully into a fire and the insignificant creature becomes invisible, when Hiranyakashipu attacked the Lord, who was full of effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible. This is not at all astonishing, for the Lord is always situated in pure goodness. Formerly, during creation, he entered the dark universe and illuminated it by his spiritual effulgence. Purport. The Lord is situated transcendentally in pure goodness. The material world is generally controlled by tamaguna, the quality of ignorance. But the spiritual world, because of the presence of the Lord and his effulgence, is free from all contamination by darkness, passion, or contaminated goodness. Although there is a tinge of goodness in this material world in terms of the brahminical qualifications, such qualifications sometimes become invisible because of the strong prevalence of the modes of passion and ignorance. But because the Lord is always transcendentally situated, the material modes of passion and ignorance cannot touch him. Whenever the Lord is present, there cannot be any darkness from the mode of ignorance. Godhead is light, nescience is darkness. Where there is Godhead, there is no nescience. This material world is full of darkness and ignorance of spiritual life. But by bhakti yoga exhibited by Prahlad Maharaj, and as soon as the Lord appeared, the influence of Hiranyakashipu's passion and ignorance was vanquished, as the Lord's quality of pure goodness, or the Brahman effulgence, became prominent. In that prominent effulgence, Hiranyakashipu became invisible, or his influence became insignificant. An example illustrating how the darkness of the material world is vanquished is given in the Shastra. When Brahma was created from the lotus stem growing from the abdomen of Garbhodakshayi Vishnu, Lord Brahma saw everything to be dark, but when he received knowledge from the Supreme Personality of Godhead, everything became clear, as everything becomes clear when one comes from night to sunshine. The important point is that as long as we are in the material modes of nature, we are always in darkness. This darkness cannot be dissipated without the presence of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which is invoked by the practice of bhakti yoga. Bhakti yoga creates a transcendental situation with no tinges of material contamination. Text 25. Thereafter, the great demon Hiranyakashipu, who was extremely angry, swiftly attacked Nrisingadeva with his club and began to beat him. Lord Nrisingadeva, however, captured the great demon along with his club, just as Garuda might capture a great snake. Text 26. O Yudhisthira, O great son of Bharata, when Lord Nrisingadeva gave Hiranyakashipu a chance to slip from his hand, just as Garuda sometimes plays with a snake and lets it slip from his mouth, the demigods, who had lost their abodes and who were hiding behind the clouds for fear of the demon, did not consider that incident very good. Indeed, they were perturbed. Text 27. When Hiranyakashipu was freed from the hands of Nrisingadeva, he falsely thought that the Lord was afraid of his prowess. Therefore, after taking a little rest from the fight, he took up his sword and shield and again attacked the Lord with great force. Text 28. Making a loud, shrill sound of laughter, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Narayana, who is extremely strong and powerful, captured Hiranyakashipu, who was protecting himself with his sword and shield, leaving no gaps open. With the speed of a hawk, Hiranyakashipu moved sometimes in the sky and sometimes on the earth. His eyes closed because of fear of Nrisimhadeva's laughter. Text 29. As a snake captures a mouse, or Garuda captures a very venomous snake, Lord Nrisimhadeva captured Hiranyakashipu, who could not be pierced even by the thunderbolt of King Indra. As Hiranyakashipu moved his limbs here, there, and all around, very much afflicted at being captured, Lord Nrisimhadeva placed the demon on his lap, supporting him with his thighs. And in the doorway of the assembly hall, the Lord very easily tore the demon into pieces with the nails of his hand. Just like we can see this painting done by Charuhasa Prabhu. It's been here since the early 70s. So that particular scene is depicted there in this painting. Sometimes, of course, when guests come into the temple and they look around and they see this, they think, my goodness, what is that? You're supposed to be peaceful people. Why are you keeping this horrific scene going on? It's like something out of the 14th century, where people used to be hung, drawn, and quartered. And the drawn part meant that their stomach was opened and the entrails were pulled out for them to view while they were still alive. So this is very similar to what's happening to Hiranyakashipu. Text number 30. Of course, this is why we read this story. We're putting everything in perspective. In that particular painting, you can't see. So you can see Prahlad Maharaj is there if you look really carefully, because at first you only see the ghastly scene, but then you see there's a little boy there, and he's not afraid. What's he doing? He's actually glorifying the Supreme Personality of Godhead, because he comes to protect us. Just like Prabhupada, he introduced way back in the 60s the prayer, the Lord Nrisimhadeva prayer, and he said we should sing this every day. And when I joined in 69, we would sing it after every aarti or after every kirtan, sometimes 3, 4, 5 times a day. And why was that? Because Prabhupada understood that just by calling on Lord Nrisimhadeva, he comes and protects our society for the next 10,000 years. So this is something that Prabhupada established, just like with the Govinda prayers. So the prayers of Lord Nrisimhadeva are equally as important as those Govinda prayers. Here's more detailed descriptions of what happens now. Lord Nrisimhadeva's mouth and mane were sprinkled with drops of blood, and his fierce eyes, full of anger, were impossible to look at. Licking the edge of his mouth with his tongue, the Supreme Personality of Godhead Nrisimhadeva, decorated with a garland of intestines taken from Hiranyakashipu's abdomen, resembled a lion that has just killed an elephant. So nice, all these descriptions are there in the Bhagavatam. Of course, we see the play, we hear so many classes, but the real essence of what's going on and the minutest details are contained in Prabhupada's text and purports. Text 31. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart. Another ghastly thing. He uprooted, that means he put his hand into the cavity of the chest of Hiranyakashipu and pulled out the heart. There's another story, which is to be found in the Mahabharata, regarding Bhima. What did Bhima do? Very similar to this description. Gokapal Prabhu. Dushasan. And why did he do that? Why did he pull out the heart of Dushasan? Because he disrobed. Yes. Yeah. That's the little difference, that Bhima, after taking out the heart, and the heart is bleeding blood, he started to drink the blood. No, Lord Nrisimhadev didn't do this with the heart here. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, who had many, many arms, first uprooted Hiranyakashipu's heart and then threw him aside and turned toward the demon's soldiers. These soldiers had come in thousands to fight with him with raised weapons and were very faithful followers of Hiranyakashipu. But Lord Nrisimhadev killed all of them merely with the ends of his nails. Text 32. The hair on Nrisimhadev's head shook the clouds and scattered them here and there. His glaring eyes stole the effulgence of the luminaries in the sky, and his breathing agitated the seas and oceans. Because of his roaring, all the elephants in the world began to cry in fear. Text 33. Airplanes were thrown into outer space and the upper planetary system by the hair on Nrisimhadev's head. Because of the pressure of the Lord's lotus feet, the earth appeared to slip from its position, just like for those people who experienced that terrible earthquake in Nepal. They also experienced the earth slipping beneath their feet. Perhaps some of you are following the events. It's difficult not to because it's out there in all the media. But just see how precarious our activities are and our lives are in this material universe, fraught with danger. Of course, there's no danger to Prahlad Maharaj. He's relishing what's going on here. So not only did the earth appear to slip from its position, all the hills and mountains sprang up due to his intolerable force. Because of the Lord's bodily effulgence, both the sky in all directions diminished in their natural illumination. Text 34. Manifesting a full effulgence and a fearsome countenance, Lord Nrisimha, being very angry and finding no contestant to face his power and opulence, then sat down in the assembly hall on the excellent throne of the king. Because of fear and obedience, no one could come forward to serve the Lord directly. Purport. We've only got 5 minutes, so I'll try to condense things now. When the Lord sat on the throne of Hiranyakashipu, there was no one to protest. No enemy came forward on behalf of Hiranyakashipu to fight with the Lord. This means that his supremacy was immediately accepted by the demons. Another point is that although Hiranyakashipu treated the Lord as his bitterest enemy, he was the Lord's faithful servant in Vaikuntha. And therefore the Lord had no hesitation in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had so laboriously created. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur remarks in this connection that sometimes, with great care and attention, great saintly persons and rishis offer the Lord valuable seats dedicated with Vedic mantras and tantras, but still the Lord does not sit upon those thrones. Hiranyakashipu, however, had formerly been Jaya, the doorkeeper at the Vaikuntha gate, and although he had fallen because of the curse of the Brahmanas and had gotten the nature of a demon, and although he had never offered anything to the Lord as Hiranyakashipu, the Lord is so affectionate to his devotee and servant that he nonetheless took pleasure in sitting on the throne that Hiranyakashipu had created. In this regard, it is to be understood that a devotee is fortunate in any condition of life. Text 35. Hiranyakashipu had been exactly like a fever of meningitis in the head of the three worlds. What a wonderful analogy. Does everyone know what meningitis is? Can you put up your hands if you know meningitis? It's a very serious condition of the brain. It's a fever of the brain, and the brain starts swelling, and if the condition worsens, then death follows very, very quickly. So, to compare Hiranyakashipu to meningitis is very apt. Thus, when the wives of the demigods and the heavenly planets saw that the great demon had been killed by the personal hands of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, their faces blossomed in great joy. The wives of the demigods again and again showered flowers from heaven upon Lord Nrisimhadev like rain. Text 36. At that time, the airplanes of the demigods who desired to see the activities of the Supreme Lord Narayana crowded the sky. The demigods began beating drums and kettle drums And upon hearing them, the angelic women began to dance, while the chiefs of the Gandharvas sang sweetly. So these airplanes, commandeered by the demigods, were able to hover in space. They just didn't have to fly in an arc from Los Angeles to London or from London to Delhi. Not like that, no. They could control their airplanes so they would hover for as long as they wanted, because they were showering so much flowers on the body of Lord Nrisimhadev out of love and affection for him. Text 39. My dear King Yudhisthira, the demigods then approached the Lord. They were headed by Lord Brahma, King Indra, and Lord Shiva, and included great saintly persons and the residents of Pitriloka, Siddhaloka, Vidyadharaloka, and the planet of the snakes. The Manus approached, and so did the chiefs of various other planets. The angelic dancers approached, as did the Gandharvas, the Charanas, the Yakshas, the inhabitants of Kinnaraloka, the Vetalas, the inhabitants of Kimpurushaloka, and the personal servants of Vishnu like Sunanda and Kumuda. All of them came near the Lord, who glowed with intense light. They individually offered their obeisances and prayers, their hands folded at their heads. Text 14, this is the last text I will read. Lord Brahma prayed, My Lord, you are unlimited, and you possess unending potencies. No one can estimate or calculate your prowess and wonderful effulgence, for your actions are never polluted by the material energy. Through the material qualities, you very easily create the universe, maintain it, and again annihilate it. Yet you remain the same without deterioration. I therefore offer my respectful obeisances unto you. And then there's a whole list of all these residents of different planetary systems. But Lord Nrisimhadev is not pacified, even with the approach of Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, and even Lakshmi Devi. And it was only when Prahlad Maharaj himself came forward, the demigods were requesting Prahlad Maharaj to come forward to pacify Lord Nrisimhadev. And it's in the next chapter, chapter 9, text 3, that Lord Brahma requests Prahlad to please go forward and appease the Lord, which he does very successfully. And so in this way, when Lord Nrisimhadev saw Prahlad Maharaj, who was paying his obeisances at the lotus feet of the Lord, he became most ecstatic in affection toward his devotee. And raising Prahlad, the Lord placed his lotus hand upon the boy's head, because his hand is always ready to create fearlessness in all of his devotees. And we will finish there. We don't have any time for questions, because I think we're going straight into doing the bathing. Is that right? This is Nan. Okay. So the Purohit has appeared. Hare Krishna Jai Shri Radhaman Prabhu Ki Jai. So thus ends the story of the transcendental appearance of Lord Nrisimhadev. Of course, he didn't appear at this time of the day. He appeared at dusk, neither daylight nor nighttime.